B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 4:05 in the evening, Felger and Mass here on 98.5, The Sports Hub, and simulcast across New England on NBC Sports Boston. Maz and Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios. I remain on location. To the phones, as promised, Joe in Vermont on the bet situation. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? Hi, Maz, is there any way the Sox came away with this with a win? If Mookie doesn't sign with the Dodgers and he doesn't play a lot of the season, and of course Price, I'm going to say bitched out, but is there any way we can look back at this and say, you know what, the Sox really shouldn't have gotten away with one, but they definitely did?
Oh, sure. Yeah, look, again, if Mookie ends up failing to live up to the contract, and sooner rather than later, let's say he's a bust 2 years from now, and it's a Jacoby Ellsbury deal, and Verdugo and Jeter Downs end up being good players. Sure. Yeah, they could call that a win. But listen, Mookie re-signing with the Dodgers, oh, it helps L.A.'s case a lot. Helps L.A.'s case a lot. If they had, I mean, we all know this. If they had traded for Betts, and then he left following a pandemic season. They didn't win the World Series, and they gave up two players to get him who turned out to be half decent. Oh, the Dodgers take a huge hit there.
Maz, I'll tell you, I don't even think Verdugo and Downs have to work out. If Betts isn't worth the money and is clearly not worth the money, the Red Sox win. And oh by the way, I mean, I agree with you that I don't think he's going to be worth the money because almost none of those guys are. Almost none of those guys are. So I don't even think they need the return to pan out. If they were smart enough to say he's not worth it, then they win. Now, if it goes the other way, like John Lester went the other way, he was worth the money he signed with the Cubs. The Red Sox missed on that one. I don't know why I just thought of Mo Vaughn, but they won on that one. I don't mean to go all the way back there. There should be a more recent example of not paying a guy that didn't pan out.
Did you say Ellsbury?
No, you did. So Ellsbury, right. Ellsbury is a perfect example. They were right about Ellsbury. They were wrong about Lester. Let's see what they are about Betts. And if I had to bet, I'll tell you that they're right about Betts because the vast majority of these contracts don't work out. Paul in Maine. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hey, guys. Oh, how nice was it to listen to Eck, Remdog, and OB last night? I enjoyed every friggin' minute of it. Even Brazier and Barnes couldn't take the fluff out of my shorts. But, Maz, Eck said last night that the Red Sox had the best left side of the infield in the game last year. Agree or disagree?
Well, maybe. Yeah, look, Colorado pops into my head right away.
I was just going to say, who's their shortstop?
Yeah, Trevor Story. And so I'd have to look and see about how many, I don't remember how many games he played last year, but again, Colorado always comes with an asterisk because of the ballpark. But I would say instinctively, they pop into my head. I'd have to think of other teams. But look, the bottom line is this, whether it's the best or the second best or the third best, they're in the discussion. I mean, the left side of the Red Sox infield's their anchor. Bogarts is signed, although he does have an out after 3 years, and Devers can't go anywhere for another three himself. That's the core of their team. That's the anchor of their team now for the next, you know, however many years you want to talk about.
Jack in the car on David Pastrnak. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I'm just listening in now. And so my theory, obviously, from the beginning of this has been that Pastrnak is being held off because he was out and about and they're nervous about, you know, him being, you know, possibly having the virus or him just being out and they don't want him around players. Is that what the general sense is of what's going on with David Pastrnak?
No, my sense is that they're adhering to protocols that are not, you know, their decision. They're adhering to protocols that were agreed to by the league and the Players Association that if you are exposed to someone with COVID, you have to stay out for 7 days, 14 days, be tested 3 times a week, or whatever they are. I forget the exact protocols, but that's what it was, that he exposed himself to someone who's known to have COVID, and so he has to sit out, as with Andre Cache. And that's what I think it is. And what Cam Neely openly second-guessed today with David Pastrnak was getting back here without the proper time to, instead of, because the thought now is that David Pastrnak came into contact with a COVID-positive person while training at a ice sheet in Malden or rollerblading or playing, you know, ball hockey in Charlestown. So, and he was doing that to, what, try and get in shape and condition and get in hockey shape, but he couldn't do it at Warrior because he hadn't quarantined for long enough. So the second guess is You knew what time phase two or what date phase two opened or what date phase three opened. Why didn't you fly your ass back from the Czech Republic in time to quarantine and then be at Warrior when all your teammates were instead of Malden or Charlestown or wherever? And that's what Cam Neely said today. He was asked if he wishes things would have played out differently with Pasternak. And he said, of course, we had the date for when camp was starting and knew that some players may need to quarantine when they got here. You kind of hope they would have gotten here a little earlier. So, I mean, it says it right there, point blank. And that to me is a second guess with David Pasternak. It's your responsibility to be there with everybody else, and he wasn't. And Murray just sent me this. I don't know if you've looked at it too, Maz, but in the Charlestown Bugle or whatever, I don't mean to be the Charlestown Patriot Bridge.
I saw it, yeah.
It's the it's their local, you know, free local paper. There's pictures of David Pasternak plastered all over this newspaper playing roller hockey with guys in Charlestown on whatever, July 16th or just before July 16th. You obviously saw this, Murray.
Yeah, I have. And I also heard about this, too. So I should probably hear, you know, I should pay attention, better attention to some of the DMs I get sometime. Like, and so what is this? And you hear Cam Neely today, and I think the tone is, well, I hope all that dicking around and, you know, that scrimmage you did in Malden or the playing in Charlestown with your buddies was worth it. Because he should be out there. There's no excuse for this. And I'm sorry. I look at this photo.
No masks.
No masks and smile on his face. Like, this isn't practice to get in shape. It's he's bored. He's bored. And so, again, this speaks to the whole thing I was yelling about with the Dwight Howard in the NBA bubble yesterday with the masks. Now that you're back and you are going to adhere to this, can you just adhere to the rules, please, so you don't screw it up for everybody else? And with the Bruins, you have a real chance to actually win the Cup. You're the Vegas favorite. Can you just hang out in your apartment and go to practice and maybe go and get a dinner if you have to? But beyond that, just for a few months, David Pasternak, can you just keep it in your pants? Can you just be cool? Can you play video games inside instead of going to have to play roller hockey in Charlestown with your boys? Like, this is infuriating to see this.
I mean, I think Neely's pissed about the whole thing all the way across. Like, as you said, first of all, they've known the dates. You didn't get here in time. And then because of that, then you went and screwed around and exposed yourself potentially to someone who has the virus. So, like, I think Neely looks at it and says, you screwed this up from the beginning. You know, you weren't responsible.
So, there's a big picture blasted on the first page of this newspaper. Then they say more pictures on page 7. Have you scrolled down to page 7 and seen some of these photos?
Oh, no, let me scroll.
Great.
I'm just eye-rolling at the caption to it. Left everyone in the mood for a big pasta dinner after an active game on wheels.
Right. So they don't mention him by name. They don't mention him by name. And I guess they're trying to protect these guys because Kashe was out there too. And there's a picture of Kashe on the jump page on page 7.
Oh, where Jesus, look at this.
Where the photo cut with the caption says, this player makes a Kashe for creative passing on the rink. So there's all these puns. And then there's a couple more pasta where he is engaging in guys in puck battles.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got some. So there no masks, like you said, and they're playing a game of roller hockey, like a real game of roller hockey. He wasn't the only guy. Kashe was there. And then there's another one, this guy in the middle, that handsome-looking fellow with the Providence College T-shirt.
Yeah.
Who's that? That's somebody.
No idea.
Because they say I don't know. I just feel like that's somebody because the guy in the yellow sleeveless thing between the two.
He's my favorite.
Something tells me he's not one of these NHL guys. I don't know. Call me with the yellow cutoff T-shirt and the tat. And I would say he's probably not.
He
an
very
NHL
much
guy.
Very much looks like a Charlestown. Whatever you need, I can get you.
I think I graduated with that guy.
So it's like, no. Pasternak isn't just so. I mean, you're right. This doesn't feel like it's high level training to get ready for an NHL season. Just feels like a Saturday afternoon of ball hockey with the townies at McGonigal Park in Charlestown, which is like, I mean, it's innocent. It's not the worst thing in the history of the world. You're not sticking up liquor stores or anything like this. But dude, it's the pandemic. Your teammates are skating at Warrior at this time. You're getting ready to go back on the ice, compete for a Stanley Cup. You're one of the best players in the NHL. You shouldn't be screwing around at McGonigal Park. I'm sorry, you just shouldn't.
It's not innocent, though. Again, based on what the parameters are for any of these pro athletes, but specifically with the NHL and what the Bruins have told them, that's not innocent. Like, dude, stay in. Do you have to play a pickup game in Charlestown with a bunch of your dudes? Like, You're not supposed to be around other people, especially without masks. I know, you know, some people are like, well, no, that's a bunch of BS and fake. Whatever you think about it, just adhere to the rules so you can play your sport and go to Toronto and be in the bubble. That's all. Like, do your teammates right. Do your employer right. Just stay home.
So the pictures are they're aggravating.
These
they're
photos not, are something, man.
They are. They're great.
That is.
They look like a high school yearbook.
That's the Charlestown Patriot Bridge, babe. There it is. Pick it up. I don't blame the Patriots for being the Bruins for being frustrated. That guy in yellow in the middle there, Murray.
After the game, whatever you need, I can get you. You guys hurting? Just give me 10 minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, we have more of your thoughts on that. We'll reset our thoughts on last night's Red Sox game. I didn't even know there was a game. I didn't realize that it was going to be broadcast on NESN and that I got a full experience. Fenway Park, 9-inning ball game, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Eck, Remy, O'Brien in the booth. I mean, no fans and fake crowd noise, but we had an actual product. How did you feel about the presentation last night, Red Sox, Blue Jays? Let's pick that up on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports. Phil here in Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
John Andreoli, native of Worcester, Massachusetts, cuts right through that one. Proud graduate of St. John's High in Shrewsbury. Now you're talking about the sweets and get darn comfortable for Rafi Devers. Rafi, after he did his work tonight, kick back and relax a little bit. His sweets.
It's hot up there, man.
Sox with a man at every base. Yeah, the bottom of the seventh with one down.
This is where you'd hear some crowd noise. Regular season?
Yes, considerable.
Come on. Pump it up.
Time to party.
All right, we'll reset some of our Red Sox thoughts here. The first is Maz Murray. I'll start with you, Maz. How'd you feel about the product last night, the presentation, the no fans in the stands, the broadcast, the broadcasters, the way the game looked, the way the game felt? All of it. How'd you feel about it?
So I'll tell you that when I turned the game on, I was ecstatic. How about that? I was going to say pleasantly surprised, but it was more than that. When I turned the game on and there were actual ball players on the field and there was a center field camera of a pitcher throwing to a batter at Fenway Park, I went, oh, right, I forgot. That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like, and it was. There was a certain comfort to it. There was a level of familiarity to it that I liked, and I admit that I was craving it, and so I was happy to see it. Absolutely. Now, did I love everything about it? No. The tarps over the seats, I don't like. I don't like. It's just, and again, aesthetically to me, the backdrop of it, I don't like it. And it's got nothing to do with them selling ads or anything of the like. They have a right to make money. So it's not anything that I begrudge them. I'd rather see empty seats than tarps. Something about it bugs me. I don't like it. The crowd murmur underneath the pitches, I like it. To me, there's a little buzz there. And when I say buzz, I don't mean electricity factor. I mean an actual like humming that takes place at a ball game that is familiar when you're watching it on TV. And I like that. Again, there's a comfort in it for me.
Yeah, I was impressed with the overall product. Not that I watched the whole thing, but in terms of, you know, the prolonged noise, as soon as I turned around, I was like, oh, this actually sounds like how it normally sounds. Where I disagree with Maz is I want more tarps. Tarp everything. I hate seeing the empty seats, especially behind home plate. In fact, it's so much so that I want the cardboard cutouts. It just looks too weird. But overall, in terms of how it sounded, how it moved along, outside of the seats, which I found jarring, it pretty much was like how it always is, which I liked.
Okay, so I think there's a chance that if you get if you're a real fan and care about the game and just watching the game, there's a chance that you're going to forget all about it if you just get wrapped up in the game. And I think Nesson deserves credit for that because I think on balance it was a good broadcast. And I think it looked and felt relatively like it should. And so, you know, I think overall it was good. Good broadcast. I'll say it again. I think Eck, Remy, and O'Brien, that's a good three-man booth. We all love Eckersley. I think he's terrific. I think that having Remy there alongside him even makes it better. I just think I like those three-man baseball booths. I think there's been some great ones over the years. I think the Mets have one right now that's terrific. Is it Darling and who's that booth they have on the Mets games, Maz? They're really good. Darling's one of them. But the ESPN, when it was Smoltz, Schilling, and the play-by-play guy, terrific booth. You know, I sort of like the three-man booth.
Gary Cohen, I think it is.
Is that who it is? Or is it Cohn? Does Cohn do Mets games?
Cohn, he might be doing Mets. He did Yankees. And then Cohn, I think, is good in the booth. He does a good job.
Anyway, I think it's a good booth. I think that even though those guys weren't on site, I think the way it was mixed, you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell they were in Watertown at the Nesson Studios versus at the park. It sounded right. And if you just watched the ball game, it was a ball game. So, like, I think on balance, okay. I don't need the fake crowd noise whatsoever. I just don't need it because, again, all the things that I've watched that have no crowd noise, if I'm really watching the game and paying attention to the game, I forget all about it. That being said, what I really don't mind, and I've just come to accept, is the din that you guys were talking about. Just the little low hum of a crowd murmur just in between pitches at a normal at-bat, just at, you know, at rest, if you will. Just that normal sort of undercurrent of sound, I think, is unobtrusive and doesn't bug me as much as I thought it might, and just fine, I'll accept it. Go ahead. The problem I do have is when there is a hit, and now it's up to the guy, the dork who's playing with the laptop or the tablet, and he's got the video game up, and this is what it is. He's got all these sound noises, all these crowd noises on his effing phone, and he's got to pick one. He's got to peck away at cheer, boo, cheer loud, you know, react or anticipate or like that. So you heard the clip there coming back where it's like, two on, two out, guys up at the plate, and, you know, X like, this is where the crowd gets up. And Remy's like, yeah, pump it up. And it's almost like they're shouting to the dork in the other room who's got the tablet with the crowd noises.
This is where you'd hear some crowd noise regular season?
Yes, considerable.
Come on. Pump it up.
Let's go. Turn it up. Hey, Eugene back there with the tablet. Give me a little boost this up a little bit here, would you?
And you know how that can be, though. Like when you're yelling at a fill-in producer and back there, like trying to figure out what button to hit. They're yelling. Oh, geez. Like, which I, you know, bring that on. I'll find that very entertaining.
But it's like that piece to it. It's like, so.
Thank you, Jimmy.
So, you know, they got a hit. Did he hit the button too late? And was the cheer too loud? Or was it not loud enough? Like, now we're talking about me watching you play a video game. And that, I am sorry, you can go after yourself. Like, I have no use for that, and I can already tell that's going to bug me. Never mind the Fricata Mamba music. What is it again, that song? What is it, MFU?
It's called Go... yeah. Go MF-er. It's, you know, some house song from 15 years ago.
You know, seriously.
Or your version, which is Go F Yourself.
Yeah, it's the Go MF Yourself song. It's like... And you know, apparently they played Sweet Caroline.
That's what I heard. I didn't actually hear it, but that's what the word is.
So the players need that? I mean, so they come back on the broadcast, they take away ad time just so we can hear the Fricata song in an empty building?
Do you think the players liked that? Those poor bastards.
No way.
Like, that's for the fans. Like, you play that when... I hate that song. I wish we'd be banned from everywhere, let alone Fenway Park. But there's no reason to play that. I'm sure the players are like, oh, Jesus, this again, come on.
But so I would say, on balance, it to me is a watchable product. You know, it's no. I'll put it to you like this: if I'm not going to watch baseball, it ain't going to be because of the things I saw last night. Empty stadium, fake crowd noise. It's going to be because the pitcher's picking his ass and taking a minute and a half between pitches, and now I'm 3.5 hours into a ball game, and they're taking walks and like that's a reason I don't watch. But I'm not going to not watch because of the atmospherics that I saw last night. I'm just not. To me, it was still a baseball game at Fenway Park, right? And it had the sounds of it.
Totally.
But, you know, the
woo,
just the guy with the button. I am a little worried about the increase of grab ass, because I am not, as you know me, I'm not into the grab ass, the grabbing of ass. And that's why I think Eckersley's so important in there. Like, they grab ass, but the three of them are still more prone to at least go off on baseball stuff. When it's just O'Brien and Remy and the game slows down, and then it's like Garen Austin and she's in with the cutouts and like, let's grab ass. Let's just dink around and goof around about something that's just not funny. Like, that is my least favorite thing in anything that I'm listening to. Broadcast, radio, games, anything. Like, it's just why we just sort of try and stay on topic. Because I have a hard time with that. The not funny grab ass. And
what have you been watching on Netflix?
I wonder if this is more or less prone to the not funny, just fill time grabbing of ass. I wonder. If it's just the baseball, I can handle it. I thought it was a good product. I thought it was just fine. It felt like baseball. I was glad it was back on. I didn't even know it. I was flipping channels, and there it was, and I was pleasantly so. I was like, wow, here we go. Awesome. There we go. And so your thoughts. How'd you feel about it? How'd you feel about the broadcast last night on Nesson? How'd you feel about the fake crowd noise, the no crowd? How'd you feel about the tarps? Maz doesn't like the tarps.
No!
Give me your thoughts on that. The broadcast, all of it. To your thoughts on that, we're also going to reset the Mookie Betts story coming up after Big Jim Murray's. In case you're just joining us, there is breaking news in Major League Baseball. Big contract coming down the pike that does affect us, that we are interested in. Details here. Murray's got the details, then we come back and discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Okay, so you heard Big Jim Murray saying the update, and may have heard already today, the LA Dodgers are on the verge of signing Mookie Betts to a giant contract extension, one that will make him, in terms of overall value, the second highest player in the history of the game, behind only Mike Trout. 13 years, 380, which includes the 27 he had on the books for this year, which was an arbitration award, Maz? Was that an arbitration?
Yeah, I think they came to a settlement, but yes, he was eligible for arbitration.
Okay. So Dan Shaughnessy just sums up the way a lot of people feel. And that is, Dan Shaughnessy points out this afternoon in the Globe, it looks very much like Betts is going to be a Dodger for 10 or more seasons. The Red Sox' inability to pony up for their best player will haunt them for years to come. Their party line will be the tired old, he wasn't going to stay here anyway, but he could have been a Red Sox player for life if they had been willing to pay for his services. I think it's safe to say, Maz, you disagree with that entire statement.
Yeah, I think Mookie was gone. That's what I think. I think Mookie was gone. And so, look, I understand. And listen, I'll bash the Red Sox with anybody. You want to bash the Red Sox, I'm in. Okay, because historically they've done a lot of dumbass, stupid things. But in this case, I don't think the player's priority was to stay in Boston. If you are up for free agency, generally speaking, you got to pick one thing or the other, where you want to play or the money. You make one a priority. He made the money a priority, which meant to me that Boston was not a priority for him. He was gone. See you later. So they traded his ass.
So, once again, the reporting last year is that Betts asked for 12 years, 420. You're saying if the Red Sox had said, okay, give us the contract, we'll sign it, that he would have backed out?
No, probably not. He probably would have signed it. But I think at the end of the day, you asked for 12 and 420 because you know you're not going to get it.
So that's where me or Shaughnessy misses the mark, that the Red Sox could have had the player for life if they had been willing to pay for his services.
Well, if they'd been willing, sure. But again, who gave him 12 and 420?
Right. Nobody.
Nobody did. So again, when you ask for that, you're not going to get it. So when you say to me, if they had given it to him, would he have taken it? Sure, probably. Yeah, but he didn't get it and he took it from the Dodgers.
So it's not fair to say the Red Sox could have had the player if they were willing to pay for his services.
No, I look, everything's fair. I mean, again, you can say, of course, anybody could have had him if they were willing to go to 420. I mean, you know, you can have whoever you want if you're willing to pay enough. But at the end of the day, I think players recognize that when you're with an organization and you're about to approach free agency, you have a choice to make.
Well, no. I mean, you believe, I am sorry to put, you know.
I put it more on Mookie than I do on the Red Sox.
You're saying that he didn't go into the negotiation with the Red Sox in good faith because he didn't want to be here. So the Red Sox really didn't have a choice because he didn't want to be here.
Correct.
His offers were unrealistic.
At the end of the day, I put it more on Mookie than I do on the Red Sox. Yes.
Okay. Well, I certainly agree with that. Where I disagree with you is that he you know was going to refuse to be here, and I think you just sort of admitted it. Like if they had come to that number, he would have signed it. He would have been compelled to, and maybe even a little less. Like they wouldn't have had to go to 100% of it. I just think you know back then you looked at 12 years and 420. I think in hindsight of what he signed for, it wasn't that crazy of an ask. You know, he's still the second highest paid player ever in terms of overall value, which is probably the most important number in baseball because it's all guaranteed. So, you know, here's a list according to the story on ESPN that I'm reading. If it's 380, the list right now is Mike Trout at 426. Betts would be at 380. Bryce Harper's at 330. Giancarlo Stanton's at 325. Garrett Cole's at 324, and Manny Machado's at 300. Okay, so those are the players who have crossed the $300 million threshold. Would you rather have Mookie Betts or Bryce Harper? Would you rather have, let's put the number on it. Would you rather have Mookie Betts at 380 or Bryce Harper at 330?
That's a toughie, because I don't love Harper. Okay. I'd probably take Harper at $25 million a year.
I think Harper's overrated, too.
Yeah, I'd go with Betts.
I mean, again, we're talking, you know, so again, the average salary here is not that different, right? Mookie's coming in at 31 and Harper's 25. So
I don't have the AAV in front of me.
Yes, it's somewhere in there. It's about six. For that margin, I'd probably take Mookie. If it's $35 million, I'd take Harper.
Okay, this will be an interesting one. Would you rather have Mookie Betts or Giancarlo Stanton?
Oh, Betts.
Betts.
You would?
Yeah, Betts.
So you've come that far off of Stanton?
Oh, yeah. Stanton, you can pitch to and strike out. Betts, you can pitch to and minimize damage.
Right. If you think, and your big complaint against Betts is you can pitch him away and he won't hurt you to the opposite field, and if you can pitch him smartly and, you know, get around him, you can flat out make Stanton look like a fool if you just pitch him a certain way.
Absolutely, yeah. Stanton is a softball player. Yeah, Mookie's a baseball player. Look, I've never said Mookie Betts sucks, okay? But what did you say Shaughnessy wrote today? The Red Sox wouldn't pony up for their best player?
Yes.
Okay, Shaughnessy 3 months ago wrote Mookie Betts was overrated, however many months ago it was. So, like, which one is it? I've always been consistent with this. I've always said to you, Mookie's a little overrated. I've always said Mookie doesn't hit the ball out to the opposite field. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, shame on the Red Sox for not ponying up, because I wouldn't have paid Mookie Betts either. So I've been consistent on it. People can accuse me of whatever they want, but I've been consistent on this topic. I don't think Mookie Betts wanted to be here. They would have had to pay out the nose and go to exorbitant sums to keep him, and I don't think he's worth it, and I don't think at the end of the day he was going to take it unless you knocked him over. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think the Red Sox, do I think they did the right thing? Yes, absolutely, I think they did the right thing. Now, in terms of what Mookie is as a player, I have never, ever said Mookie Betts sucks. I've never once said that, nor will I say that. He's a damn good player, but I'm not giving him 12 years and 13 years and $380 million. I'm not doing it.
The Red Sox' inability to pony up for their best player will haunt them for years to come, right, Shaughnessy? Their
party my God, line. I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Thank you, Danny. Their party line will be, can we get that on a loop at Fenway Park? Can we play that drop? Their party line will be the tired old, he wasn't going to stay here anyway, but he could have been a Red Sox player for life if they had been willing to pay for his services. So anyway, Garrett Cole's at 324. I know it's position player versus pitcher. Would you rather have Mookie Betts at his contract or Garrett Cole at his?
Mookie.
Me too.
I won't tell you. Pitchers scare the hell out of me. So you can throw just about any pitcher you want on that list.
Would you rather have Mookie Betts at his contract or Manny Machado at $300
million? Machado.
I'm Betts there. And Machado's a superior player. I just think he's such a head case and an accident waiting to happen. And the reason I did that is because the other guys that are plus $300 million, Bryce Harper, Stanton, Cole, and Machado, I think I'm taking Betts over all of them. Now, am I taking Betts at 380 versus Machado at 300? Now, maybe the money makes a difference, but I'm just saying, you know, player to player, take out the money. I think I'm taking Betts over all those guys. Now, that's not to say that I think he's the second best player. I'd rather have Yelich. I'd rather have Yelich than Mookie Betts. I'd rather have Bellinger than Mookie Betts.
Mike, what did Yelich sign for?
Oh, a bargain. An absolute steal. The Brewers got so lucky. I forget what it is, but it's nowhere near these numbers.
And why did he do that?
Because he's a Brewer, baby. He's a Brewer for life.
There you go. He wanted to stay with Milwaukee, right?
Maz, why do you keep doing this? Like, why do you say just because he wanted to stay is the same as saying he wouldn't stay?
Because I think when you're talking about free agents, it's effectively the same thing. That's why. Because I think when you are a free agent, you have a choice. The security and staying where you are, because that has value and that's more important to you, or the money, which means you really don't care if you stay.
But just tell me you understand the concept of saying, it's not my priority to stay, but I'll treat you like the other 30 teams. If you come in with the best offer, I'll stay.
Okay, so what's the priority then if it's not to stay?
Is to make the most money.
Okay, so then the priority is not to stay. So it's not, you know.
Because it's not a priority doesn't mean he wouldn't do it.
But Mike,
and you said it before that if they gave him the 12 and 420, he would have signed it.
But Mike, in free agency, it's typically an either or. You either want to stay or you want to go to market.
It's one
or the other. If you want to go to market, you don't want to stay.
I understand. Sometimes, though, guys sign the contract in places that is not a priority just because of the contract.
Okay, and I'll tell you that guys who remain with their existing teams, I'm not talking about guys on the open market who will go to the highest bidder once they leave, period. The point is, if you're with the Red Sox and you're going to leave the Red Sox, you don't care where you go. You'll take money from the highest bidder. So the guy who goes to market and leaves his organization wants to go for the money. The guy that wants to stay will stay with his organization.
Again, we just keep going over and over this. It was not
because I don't agree with you. You want me to agree with you, and I don't agree with you. You're not going to change my mind. In free agency, it's an either or.
It was not a priority to stay, but he would have. True or false?
If they gave him 420, sure.
Why are you answering it with something other than true or false? It was not a priority to stay, but he would have.
Sure.
Okay. Then we actually do agree, my friend. We actually do agree.
Yeah, but again,
disingenuous.
Yeah, but the way you present it makes it sound like that was an option, and it was not because they weren't going to give it to him.
Okay,
that's not typically how it works.
Maybe it wasn't.
No, but nobody who is with a team gets market value without going to market. You just don't.
When Shaughnessy says the Red Sox could have had him if they'd been willing to pay, it's true.
Yeah, but look, again, I disagree with Dan on this one, too. So Dan, again, during last season, wants to say Mookie Betts is overrated. He's not Mike Trout. But now he wants to rip the Red Sox for it. So, again, I'm trying to be consistent on it. I'm trying to be consistent. I'm trying to tell you that Mookie Betts, to me, has always been a little overrated. He's a terrific player, but I'm not going to pay him Mike Trout. So then when it comes time to pay him Mike Trout money or something close to it, I'm not going to kill the Red Sox for it because I'm trying to be true to the principle I had in the first place. So I can change the argument at any given time if you want, just for the sake of making the argument, or I can tell you what I truly feel.
So I don't doubt that you're telling me what you truly feel. And I agree that he's not worth the money and the contract isn't going to work out. I mean, that's why I disagree with Shaughnessy. I think most of these contracts don't work out. And I don't know if Betts, so few of them do. So few of them do. Manny Ramirez did. Name another one of those big contracts that worked out. I mean, did Jeter, I'd have to go back and look. Did it work, from front to end? Did A-Rod end up earning all of his money? I'd say no. He hardly ever won. Took him forever to win. I mean, there's just a million examples of the contract not working out. Never mind. Does Betts have really the pop? Does he have the pop that really demands that kind of money? I don't know that he does. I don't know that he does. All right, so there's the reset on Mookie Betts. I promise you're all lined up on everything on the Red Sox last night, the game presentation, the Mookie Betts conversation, to your calls in our long commercial-free segment right after these words.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, there was a report that you turned down $300 million from the Boston Red Sox. You know, given everything that's going on, you know, economically right now, labor-wise in baseball, you know, do you have any second thoughts about that now in retrospect? And how confident are you that the market will be there for you this winter if you do perform?
I don't, like, regret turning down that. And that was, you know, once I make a decision, I'm making a decision. I'm not going back and questioning myself. You know, so I don't worry about that. And, you know, the market will be what the market is. You know, we'll just kind of cross that bridge when we get there. But for right now, like I said, it's just the safe and health things that we need to, that I'm worried about, and that whole thing's on the back burner.
All right, back to your calls. That was Mookie Betts a couple weeks ago, not regretting turning down the Red Sox offer, and certainly it didn't end up hurting him. Red Sox, again, at the time, reported 10 years, $300 million. He ends up signing for $380.
Do you think he had the deal in his pocket?
Yeah, maybe, Maz, right? I mean, at the time he turned down, the pre-trade, probably not. But you mean like in his back, like once a trade was made, did he get assurances that you'll be here long-term and you'll be the second highest paid player or whatever? Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, like I wonder, is it easy for him to sit there and tell the LA media, no, I don't regret it because I know once this thing's over and we get back in the field, I'm getting $380.
Right, for sure. I mean, these things just, you know, this didn't happen overnight. It's been worked on for a long time. I think that's entirely possible because I think you raised the point before that, you know, Mookie Betts re-signing makes the Dodgers trade looks better. You know, you've got this now, and you're not just renting him for Verdugo and Downs. You've got him for 10 years for Verdugo and Downs. So it makes sense for the Dodgers standpoint. No, you're probably right that, you know, once a trade was made, they gave him assurances.
I mean, quickly, from a pure negotiating standpoint, the Dodgers are stupid. They have all the leverage here. They could have signed him for $50 million less, maybe more, and they gave him $380. Dumb.
Here's Michael in Scituate. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, I just have a quick comment on Mookie Betts. So after they won the World Series in 2018, he ran into the pile and he was shouting, I won. And I think that tells you all you need to know about his loyalty to the Red Sox.
Is that true? Had you heard that before?
I had not. So what game was it again?
He said when they won the World Series, what he was yelling going into the pig pile was, I won.
It wouldn't surprise me. It'd be a typical baseball player comment, wouldn't it?
It would. Maz, and oh, by the way, you don't think he's worth being one of the highest paid players in the game. Why do you think he's not one of the great players in the game?
Well, look, again, I mean, you know, if you're telling me, is he better than some guys who are making somewhere close to that? Yes, he is. So, but what I would tell you is this, I would not invest 10 to 12 years in a guy like that because I think that he doesn't have opposite field power. He's not that big. And as soon as that bat starts to slow down a little, you're going to get a guy like, you know, the guy he was compared most frequently to earlier in his career was Andrew McCutchen. Okay, similar size guy for the Pirates that everybody loved. What's McCutchen now? And it didn't take McCutchen long to lose it.
I was going to say, is he even a starting ball player right now, or is he a bench player?
Well, so he ended up somewhere else during the offseason, and I'll find out where it was.
Philly, I think.
Yeah, was it Philly? It might have been Philly. Murray might be right. But by the end of last year, he was more of a platoon guy. He's with the Yankees playing part-time.
Right. Right. Wally in Fall River on the broadcast last night. How'd you feel about it, Wally?
It's a little bit hollow, guys. I've been a fan since 61, but I still miss, you know, you got opening day Friday. I'm going to miss the pageantry, all the excitement, the fans outside. It's all right, but I didn't think I wasn't very excited. But as far as Mookie goes, he was a gone duck anyway. We've seen the money we threw at Sale and Evaldi, even Rusty Castillo, if he's still around. I mean, the Red Sox, they just didn't know how to balance their budget. They knew Mookie was going to be a free agent, but they signed Sale and Evaldi and a few other players, but they've had a history of that.
Okay, Wally, just let me stop because I think you just gave me a dirty swear. Like, what is a Rusty Castillo, Murray? Is that when you...
Oh, no, he's the only player from that part of the world that's got red hair and freckles. Rusty Castillo.
So yeah, it's when you have sex on a bed of nails.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I gave her the Rusty Castillo.
I don't think they want. I don't think they want to sign that contract for anyone, Maz. You know, the Manny Ramirez contract was signed with someone else. That was someone else's deal, the Sale deal. How many years did he get? 5 years?
He did. No, Sale got five times 29, although the luxury tax hit is. Now, look, if you want to make this argument to me, and this is where I will agree with Red Sox fans, you shouldn't have given the money to Sale. You shouldn't have given the money to Eovaldi. You would have rather taken that money and given it to Betts. Fine. Now, again, the 10 years, 12 years, we'll fight over that one. But in terms of the $30 million a year, $35 million a year for, you know, 5 years, fine. That one I'll agree with you on. Yes, they've spent their money poorly. So I'm not going to lose my mind on that part of it.
But all I'm saying is, you know, 5 years, 150 for Chris Sale is a heck of a lot different than 12 and 380 or whatever for Mookie. I think they're willing to do the 5 year pitcher contract, but the 10 year positional player thing, I don't think they want to sign any. If any of these guys ask for something like that, I don't think they're getting it, whether they think they're worth it or not.
Yeah, they're scared of those deals. And look, again, if they're going to take that approach, then they're not going to get great players. So I understand where people are coming from on that one. But I would also tell you that typically with that kind of guy in your organization, there's a little bit of give and take, and there wasn't any give and take here.
Bob in Rhode Island, your thoughts last night on the game?
Did you say Bob from Rhode Island?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm just calling about the guys that they complained about the league when it wasn't playing, management, players, all that stuff. And then now that they're playing, they're complaining even the same more. So you pick one. Pick one. That's all I say. That's
okay. All. Maz, what are they complaining about?
I have no idea what that guy's talking about. No,
yeah, me
no
neither.
Clue.
No, I think that... To the baseball players' credit, I think once, you know, they finally hammered out whatever they had to hammer out and returned to play, I feel like they've just gone out and played. I haven't heard any bitching and moaning or any of the usual player union stuff. Have you?
No. I would say overall, I think that they're all focused on baseball now for the most part. Again, there's always going to be the stray that, you know, wanders off in some direction talking about something that's irrelevant. But for the most part, I feel like they are now focused and moving toward opening day as well they should be.
I feel like they've shown up in plain ball. I mean, that's what I think they've done. And thank God. Thank God. They're back and they're playing ball. And we got our first little taste of it last night. How'd you feel about the product? The new product, the pandemic product that is Major League Baseball. More of your thoughts after Murray gives you the Rusty Castillo here in the 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.